Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show. Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinion can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am your co-host. I'm not here with my other host, but Michael Eric Owens here in Blacken Studios. Oh, man, the sun is shining out, and DT, of course, is still in, or still, I should say, on the continent of Africa. And folks, we got a chance to Skype, so it was a thrill for me. We got a chance to talk a little bit, and he shared some things, and I can't share it with you because number one, I don't want to steal his thunder, but also he's got some really great things to share with us about his experiences over there, and he's doing a little interviewing, so he's going to come back with some dialogue from the continent, and so we couldn't be more excited about his return. And man, Richard, we're about to go into 2016. And for some of you folks that haven't been on the planet for very long, that might not seem like a big deal. But for a brother like me, when I sit back and I remember the dial phone, okay, I remember the phone booth. You know, I remember Sega Genesis. You know, Sonic and Tails. You know, I remember, all of the 4 channels, 4 or 5 channels on the TV, and wasn't no remote control. I was the remote control. You know, it was, you know, Pops used me for the remote control. So it's a different world, and it's 2016, and so many things are happening, and I hope as we close this show out, and as I close it out, from the One Mic, One Voice show, I just hope that you had a blessed year. Not everything went well. I'm sure not everything was a victory. However, you made it through. However, you're listening to my voice. However, tomorrow's coming. And guess what, folks? You're going to step into 2016. And 2016, if you work hard, you focus, you don't give up, you don't get weary, you are going to accomplish your goal, and great things are going to come your way. So just from the One Mic, One Voice show, we want to say Happy New Year to you. But guess what? We're not done yet, because there's some things that we have to talk about. And I just want to start off with, if you've been watching this with Sandra Bland and what has transpired in Texas. And let me bring you up to speed. If you don't know about Sandra Bland, she's a 28-year-old African-American female who was pulled over in Texas. She's originally from Chicago, was pulled over in Texas because she did not use her signal. Now, I think all of us are guilty at one time or another, just shifting lanes. I used to have a little sports car, and I was notorious for just, you know, I mean, you show the speed, right? You go over. But in her case, it became deadly because she got into this altercation with this police officer, was eventually taken to jail. And supposedly the story said she hung herself in the jail cell. Her family completely debunks this analysis because she was in good spirits. She was looking forward to things coming up. And so they say even before, and what happened on Monday was the Texas grand jury decided not to indict anyone relating to the death of Sandra Bland. This case that raised questions of excessive police force and the role of race after she was found dead in her jail cell last summer. And this particular special prosecutor, Darren Jordan, also said the grand jury decided that no Waller County Jail employee would be charged. He declined to say what charges still could be considered and against whom. And I mean, this is the scenario here. Okay. You get pulled over. I mean, you're going wherever you're going. You get pulled over because you don't signal. Not because you're speeding. Not because you're driving recklessly. Not because you're swerving. But it's because you don't signal. Now, folks, let's be realistic. When you are driving today, I want you to look and see how many people do not signal. This is not a common, not something that we don't see all the time. It's something police officers do not see all the time. I've seen police officers that don't signal. Okay. And so this idea that this becomes probable cause to pull somebody over because they don't signal. Now, if you heard the broadcast, remember I told you about the guy that pulled me over and told me, no, he said, I signal, which I have to signal because I'm a black man. I'll be honest with you. I signal. I turn my head. I drive the speed limit. I look over. I have to do everything. I have to be perfect because even in perfection, we know that one can lose their life. And so here is this woman that has been pulled over simply because she didn't put on her traffic, her turn signal. And how does that turn into an altercation? I mean, the officer told me I was driving, I changed lanes too close. I said, man, is that a violation? Is that, where's the rule book? I want to see the rule book where it says that, you know, and how do you measure that? And this guy was so far back from me, how could he even see? What he saw was a black man driving in a car. Now, I know some of you are going to disagree with that, but again, it's the skin that I'm in. And I realize that this sort of thing of racial profiling is just too much for people to understand and bear. But let me say this, it's real. And this lady should have never been pulled over. She should have never been taken to jail. There was no confrontation before that. She's just driving. Just driving. Folks, this is how dangerous our society is right now. That at any moment, it could turn deadly. And let me tell you something. I used to work in the criminal justice system, and I worked inside the county jail. And let me tell you something. Now, I'm not going to paint everybody with a broad brush. I don't like to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people in there, them some evil people in the county jail. I worked with them. I saw how they treated people that came in there like they were nothing. Like they were less than zero. And the officers treated those people like they were nothing. And some of these was just traffic violations. I mean, it wasn't like they murdered somebody. I mean, somebody that got caught speeding or, you know, their license was suspended. It was like, you've got to be kidding me that this is allowed to happen. It's like you have no rights. You have no, and you talk about the loss of dignity. Oh, my God. It was amazing. I even had to go, Richard, I even had to go and complain to the judge because I was saying, man, the things I'm seeing in this place, dude, this is inhumane. So what I'm saying to you is that when you get arrested, and folks, I'm going to say this now. I know we have some of the best listeners in the world, Richard. And I say this, we're over 4,000 likes on our Facebook page. Man, just shout out, man, to those who are liking us and listening to us. I just appreciate it. DT, I know I can speak for him. I can't do that at all times because he's got his own mind and he's his own man. But I know I can speak for him on this one. He appreciates so much like I do the fact that you're liking the show and that you're tuning in and that you're providing feedback. We just really, really appreciate that. But I will say, I know some of our listeners then got in some trouble, though. I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm not going to go into, you know, litany of probably what has happened. But in our lives, we have done things. And from time to time, you know, you might have got arrested, got pulled in. So my point is not to be critical of you. My point is to say you understand exactly what I'm talking about, how they treat you, how they deal with you. And the very fact that you become nothing. Like these people are on a power hunger, you know, just power hungry. And you are for that night. If it's overnight, you're like prey, and they gonna wreak havoc on you. Now I've heard some people say, "Well, we want to do it that way, so you're so shocked and afraid that you won't come back here." It wasn't my choice to come here in the first place, fool. How's that gonna deter me? I didn't want to come here. It's not like I said, you know what? I want to check into jail. I want to spend a weekend in jail. I ain't got nothing better to do. No, I don't want to be there in the first place. You treating me worse. You degrading me, being condescending to me. That's not a deterrent. Okay. It's not a deterrent. Okay. It's just adding, you know, insult to injury. And so I can, you know, again, I wasn't in that jail with Sandra Bland, but I can pretty much say what goes on in those places. And who knows what transpired. But how can a person come in simply because she didn't signal and she ends up hanging herself? And guess what, folks? Nobody's responsible. No, nobody's responsible. Just happened. Nobody can be held accountable. Are you kidding me? What? This was a life. It was a life. She was breathing. She was alive. Just think if this was your loved one. This was your loved one that got pulled over. Your daughter, your sister, your cousin that got pulled over simply because they didn't signal. They call you from the jail and say, "Look, Mom, it didn't happen like that. Now I'm in jail. I need some help." And you're like, "Okay, I'm going to bail you out." And then hours later, you get a call saying your daughter hung herself. That's unacceptable. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going into 2016. People should not be dying in custody. Now, I remember when they brought you into the prison, Richard, and you were suicidal. They took off your clothes, gave you, we had these little green, you know, suits that were padded, and they put you in a room. You didn't have anything. You didn't have anything. You didn't have anything to hang yourself. You had nothing. So that tells me that they didn't think she was suicidal. They didn't. There's a protocol for that, folks. They didn't think she was a threat to herself. But I'm going to tell you like this. It seems to me that Miss Bland wasn't going to take it. When the officer approached her, she had issues with that. When an officer approached me, I have issues with that. Why? Because, man, all I want to do is be left alone. You don't have to harass me. I'm just going home. So translate into that, into being in the jail and being harassed. No, I don't think I'm going to be quiet. I don't think I'm going to be docile. Wasn't raised that way. Can't start today. No. You know what? I'm going to let you have it. As simple as that. I'm going to let you have it because I only have one life. I only have one life, and it's each and every day. If you can't respect my life, I'm just not going to lay down and let you walk all over me and talk to me anyway. I do not care if you are in a power position, if you are in authority. I respect authority. As long as authority respects me. Just because you have position authority, just because you wear a badge, just because you have a title. Oh, I respect the badge. I respect the title. But when the individual that's sitting in that seat or wearing that uniform is disrespectful to me, bring it on, because it ain't happening. I'm not going out like that. Why? Because I have one life. And further than that, I have people looking at me. I have people that are saying, man, my father ain't no punk. You know what I'm saying? Well, my father, you know what? No, that ain't my dad. No, he not going to take that. No, he not going to do that. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a little deviation, man. When my son was in, he was in elementary school. The teacher had a new teacher, and he thought, we're going to switch up how we do conferences. He said, I'm gonna empower the kids. Son came home. He said, mom, dad, Mr. Such and Such wants me to call you by your first name during a conference. Now, he's in elementary school. I said, really? I said, so what did you tell him? No, that wasn't gonna work. I said, yeah, you correct, son. I said, so what did he say? He said, no, he said it would be okay. And I said, well, what was your response? I said, no, that's not going to work. And then I said, so what did he say? He said, well, no, he kept saying that it would be okay. I said, you don't know my father. Listen, folks, at the end of the day, you have one life. You should be honored. You have dignity. No one should rob you and strip you of your dignity. I'd rather be off the face of the earth, to be honest with you. If I can't walk around as a man with my dignity intact, then you know what? Why am I still here? That's not how I can live. That's not why I do what I do. And I'm hoping that somehow, some way, that someone's held accountable for Mrs. Bland's death. 28. 28. 28. 28. I mean, she's not even 30. Think of Sandra's mother. Wow. To lose a daughter. Bland's mother said, I simply can't have faith in a system that's not inclusive of my family, that's supposed to have the investigation. She says, goes on to say, right now, the biggest problem for me is the entire process. Wow. You know, if you don't have empathy, I think I had put this on Facebook several maybe a month ago or something like that. If you don't have empathy, you've lost part of your humanity. And I think it's so important that we don't become numb to this, because in 2016, we have to change it. We got to change it, folks. We can't continue to go down the same direction where all we see is misery and death and cover-ups and people not being held accountable. We cannot continue down this road. Something's got to change. America has got to change. This great country. You know, this experiment, the blending of people and culture and race and ethnicity and talent and gift, all of that. If we don't shift gears, it is a failure. You say, oh, now hold up for a minute. Am I calling the American experience a failure? Okay, how's it working? How's it working? I mean, would you give it an A? I mean, looking at it right now, over 300 mass shootings last year. Would you give that an A? Okay, what do we have? Homegrown terrorism. Will you give that an A? Folks, let's look at the fabric of our society. Look at the division. Look at the presidential race on both sides. Would you give that an A? Oh yeah. I'm saying we are failing. Absolutely. Poverty is increasing. There is more children in poverty today than it has ever been. What happened to the war on poverty or Johnson's Great Society? Oh, yeah. Failure. We are failing. Look at the education system. Less people are graduating today than ever before. Education around the country is taking the deepest cuts on state budgets. But we're spending billions and billions of dollars to bomb people. And quote unquote, to bring democracy. When our own democracy is failing. I don't know. Maybe you're giving an A. I don't know, maybe a B, a C. Oh, no. I think it's unacceptable what we see each and every day in our society. Now, that's the dismal story. But there's another narrative that we can write, folks. We're going into 2016. The pen is in your hand. You can be the narrator of a new story, of a new America, one that has inclusion, the ones that don't have death of Sandra Bland. That doesn't exist in a new America. It wouldn't exist in my America, Richard. I'm going to be honest with you. It wouldn't exist in my America. In my America, you wouldn't get pulled over if you didn't signal. And if you got pulled over, you would get a warning. And you would be talked to with dignity and respect. You wouldn't get snatched out your car and jacked up simply because maybe you were upset. What happened to de-escalating a situation? What happened to, ma'am, listen, ma'am, I need you to calm down. It'll be all right. I'm gonna get a female officer here, and we're going to, you just didn't signal, okay? Calm down. Not the end of the day. You just didn't signal. However, it's my job. It's my job, okay? You might not like it, but it's my job, so just calm down. I'm just going to give you a warning. You can be along your way, okay? Oh, no. Oh, no. You can't even open up your mouth. I've been told by officers I don't want to hear it. I've been trying to talk to officers where they walk away from me. When I say, well, what did I do, officer? What did I do? Driver's license registration. I said, well, what did I do? I don't have to tell you what you did. Driver's license registration. Okay. Actually, that doesn't calm me down. Okay. And in any class I've taken on de-escalating situations, that's not part of the rule book. That's how you get people riled up. And if you do that to somebody that's unstable, you're going to have an altercation. So what am I saying? We have to change, folks. 2016, are we going to just see the ball drop and fireworks go off and we're going to have our little drink and make our resolutions? And you know what? Listen, the 31st, it's going to look just like the first, right? 31st is going to look just like February 1st. 31st is going to look just like July 1st. Because we haven't changed. We don't have the courage or the fortitude to change. We have to change. But first of all, we have to recognize where we're at. And I'm telling you, we are not. We need a curve. You know where the teacher give you a curve for the pass? We need a curve, man, because we way down there. But I tell you what, I don't want you to go nowhere, because we're going to come back. And we're going to talk about some stuff that went crazy on Facebook, folks. We're going to get into that. So, hey, listen, take a moment, freshen up, you know, maybe do some jumping jacks. And, you know, we're going to come back and talk it up. So we be right back. Hang in there.
Be sure to like us on our Facebook page, One Mic, One Voice Podcast. Follow all of our content on the OneMicOneVoice.com website, or be sure to email me at dt@OneMicOneVoice.com or Michael Eric Owens at OneMicOneVoice.com. Keep listening.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Thank you so much for sticking around. I hope you had some fun on the first go round. Now we on round two, and let me say this: I want to talk about something that happened on Facebook, but I want to kind of set it up because I think it fits into this larger conversation about post-racial society. Now, some would say, and you've heard this before, some would say, you know, we elected a black president, and so we're beyond race. And so what, and you hear that on one side of the argument is what black folks are still talking about. We got a black president. Slavery is, you know, slavery was many, many, many years ago. And, you know, and why you still concentrating on that? We don't need affirmative action. You got a black president, yada, 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 yada. Right. Okay. Well, you know, if you are still in the camp of post-racialism, I would hope that some of the events of our day has at least challenged that notion, that when you see the Michael Browns, the Trayvon Martins, the Laquan McDonald, when you see those individuals being cut down in our city streets, when you see the inequities not only in employment but in income, when you see the poverty of black communities, even when you see, and whether you agree with the president or not, that's not the issue. The issue is when you see the man being painted like he, you know, drew up like he's a monkey, and signs "Go back to Africa." So when you see all these things, I'm hoping that it at least it motivates you to begin to challenge this very notion that somehow we're beyond race, that race doesn't matter. Dr. Cornel West wrote a book, I think is one of the greatest analysis of why race matters, simply titled "Race Matters" in American Society. And, you know, we can't, as much as we want to say that we're in a post-racial society, folks, things on the ground are extremely different. And so when I have people, hey, well, first of all, what do we mean by post-racial? I guess, and I will make an assumption. I don't have to read the definition, but I'll assume a couple of things: that race doesn't matter, that we don't see color, and that you know, everybody has an equal opportunity now. You see that, you know, there is no ceiling In other words, let me see what else comes to mind when I think about post-racialism. That maybe that sums it up. That, you know, we're all basically seen as people. You know, there's no black, no white, no Hispanic, no, you know, no Jew, no. I mean, we're all just one, right. But yeah, I have a problem. Let me tell you why I have a problem. Okay, number one, it is completely untrue. Okay. It's completely false. Okay. But the bigger problem I have is that it's not that we recognize our differences. Matter of fact, what makes America great is that it has so many differences, so many different nationalities and cultures. And oh my God, I mean, man, when I'm in Chicago, Richard, I love to go to Greek Town, man. I mean, don't make us the same. You know what I mean? I love Greek people, Greek food, man, is amazing. Okay. When I go to Chinatown, amazing. In Milwaukee, we have Afrofest and Polish Fest and German Fest. And, oh, man, I love the festival. Don't change that. That's the beauty. Irish Fest. That is the beauty of American society. The problem is, get this, the problem is when people see our differences of those that are being that are seen as being different from the dominant culture, which is a white culture, as not just being different, but being deficient. That's where the problem comes at. When you look at me, you go, hey, he can't be as smart as me. Well, he shouldn't be driving that car. He's black. What do you mean? Oh, at least he can't. He's living in that house. Oh, he must be a drug dealer. Okay. See, folks. The implicit biases that exist in our society, they're there. They are real. So what we need to understand is, you know what? Post-racialism, I feel about post-racialism the same thing I feel about this idea, and we talked about it on the last show, about tolerating one another instead of coexisting. Don't tolerate me. Coexist with me. In harmony with me. This idea of post-racialism, get rid of it. There's so much scholarship written about post-racialism and are we in a blah, blah, blah. Get rid. We are an experiment. We are not a homogeneous society. We're a heterogeneous society where we have all types of people and culture. That is the beauty. That is who we are and what we are. And we should celebrate that and not look at it as being less or inferior, or one being superior. No, we can't do that. That's our problem. So that's my setup to, I know some of you didn't want me to go on that long, but that's my setup. Now, on Facebook, and those of you who are friends with me on Facebook, you know, I always, you know, I had a colleague of mine, a high school friend of mine who I respect a whole lot. And she made the comment. She said, so why do you have friends like this? She's talking to the guy that was in opposition, I believe, to the statement I'm going to read here in a minute. And I said, well, you know, making friends on Facebook is really similar to the traditional way of making friends. You know, you meet somebody, you know, you get to know them you meet your friend. And that's when you see true colors. And when true colors come, as I explained to her, then you have you're faced with a choice. You either stay friends or you unfriend. You know, and in some cases, I just show them grace. I mean, I don't want everybody that disagrees with me to unfriend me. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But in his case, you know, I blocked him. You know, I did. You know, I mean, if you're so out there and you're so beyond the pale, and you know, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not in reality, at least in my reality, in the reality that I think most people live in. Well, we really can't go any further. Now, I'm talking about this Steve Harvey thing. Now, I'm going to say a little bit later on something about Steve Harvey that might make some, if he heard it, probably make him wrong, make him mad at me, and probably make some black folks mad at me. But I'm going to say it anyway. But first of all, this is what I said. I said, listen, folks, I agree. Steve Harvey made an egregious mistake. However, the blaming of all black people and the racist comments against us must stop. Please, I ask you to stand up for what is right. These bigots must be held accountable. I thought it was pretty balanced statement. You know, I am kind of biased myself about some things, but Richard, I thought it was pretty balanced. You know, I see, yeah. Man, I had a, and again, on this thing, there were over 50 comments. There were close to 60 likes and over 50 comments, right? And most of the comments were, I think, in agreement. And again, I don't post things so people can agree with me. I post things so that we can create dialogue, healthy dialogue, so that we can debate. And I happen to be a guy that I like to debate. I do. I mean, I like a good argument. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I'm not opposed to people that differ with my opinion. And also, it take a whole lot to offend me. Even this guy, I was more amused, actually, by his line of reasoning. And one of my colleagues said, you know, why do you continue to communicate with, you know, but some people, you know, they play, you know, call to duty, you know, for amusement. You know, sometimes I entertain these sort of individuals, and it's amusement because I do have a purpose. I'm too trying to drive them in a certain direction. But when I feel we're at an impasse, then I think, you know, we can't go any further, or it becomes visceral. Then I think, you know what, hey, let's go ahead and, you know, end the dialogue. But so this particular couple of individuals felt that I was creating, the issue, and that I was looking for racism. Hey, how does that happen? I mean, do I wake up in the morning going, oh, man, I got my day today, and God, I'm looking for racism. I'm going to find some racism today. I'm going to find, if my goal today is to find racism. I mean, who would do that? Matter of fact, I hope I never see another racist comment or experience another racist act in my life. That would be, oh my God, Richard, I would love to not even think about race, folks. But so I was also accused that I was making this thing up, and they couldn't find anywhere out on the internet that these things were being said about Steve Harvey. Even though I just put one in, I pasted one in. I said, do your research. I mean, and you know what? And let me say this. The idea that I need to prove to you how I feel or see something is ridiculous. I'm not trying to prove to you how I feel. I don't need to justify to you how I feel. Why? Because it's how I feel. It's not how you feel. I'm not going to justify to you how I see things. As I have to prove to you that racism, the guy even said to me, define racism. What planet are you on? Define racism. Oh, my God. We're living in what? Google it. If you want a proper definition, I'm not going to waste my time. You know, it's I don't know what the analogy would be It's like saying, what are tennis shoes? You don't know what tennis shoes are? I mean, I think it's obvious, okay, that racism has been part of the American fabric since the beginning. And you're going to say to me, define racism for me. What? Oh, define it for me. No, I'm not going to do that. But what I will do right now, I'm going to read, and this is a question I want to ask our listening audience. Okay. Would you consider these to be racist comments or not? It's pretty simple. Okay. Now, this is in relations to Steve Harvey. You know, hopefully you know who Steve Harvey is, the comedian. He's Family Feud. He has a radio show, talk show, and very famous guy. And you can Google him, black guy, bald head, got his own suit line, Steve Harvey. I don't think I ever bought one of his suits. You ever buy one of his suits, brother? But he's smooth dresser though, brother Steve. So he announced the winner, the wrong person as a winner for the Miss Universe, right? Pageant. Which, yeah, it's a horrible thing to do, man. It's like a moment, right? I mean, it's just like you have like this one opportunity to get it right. I agree. It was a huge mistake. Now, again, I don't watch the Miss Universe. Okay? I'm not a pageant person. I don't have no disrespect for them because I think they're very talented. I like the platforms that they take and go and do great things. So I'm not speaking against beauty pageants. Okay, I don't get emails somebody saying, it wasn't right. You said no. I'm not speaking against beauty pageants. Okay, I'm just not into them. Okay? I'm into football. I'm into basketball. I'm sorry. I'm just into the man things. Okay. I'm not. And again, hold on. See, I just messed up again, Richard. I'm not saying a man can't watch pageants, man. That's what you want to do. Each his own. I'm not judging. But just answer that for me. Is this a racist comment or not? Because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this will be the day that I'll have this revelation. And I realize that we are in a post-racial society. And clearly the dude that I've been looking at in the mirror every day, he's got it all wrong. Somehow I don't believe that. Okay, here we go. Comments about Steve Harvey. But notice how it's not just Steve Harvey. Remember we talked about individual identity and group identity, how blacks are seen as a group? Minorities, I should say. First comment. I would expect nothing less when it comes to anything regarding simple thought, including Mexicans or blacks. Is that a racist comment or not? I don't know. Okay, comment number two. What a brain dead clown Harvey is. Another affirmative action failure. This is what happens when standards are degraded to be politically correct. Does that seem racist? I don't know. And this whole thing about being politically correct, I'm confused about that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm just going to offend you now. Okay, I'm going to be racist now. I'm going to do all these things. But you know what? I'm celebrating the fact that I'm not politically correct. I'm still confused about that. Okay, the next comment. Blacks cannot be trusted in position of power. Wow. Blacks. I thought this was Steve Harvey, though, brother. Didn't Steve Harvey make the mistake? I mean, did not Steve Harvey, call the wrong name? Steve Harvey. Blacks cannot be trusted in a position of power. And they go on to say this. We have certainly learned that lesson these last 7 years. So now it's the president's fault. Oh, now it's Obama's fault. He can't be trusted. Do you see? Oh, hold on a second. Let me go back here, because see, listen, folks, I agree. Steve Harvey made an egregious mistake. However, the blaming of all black people and the racist comments against us must stop. Please, I ask you to stand up for what is right. These bigots must be held accountable. Again, I think it's a pretty balanced statement. I didn't write that until I read this. Okay. There's more. Oh, I really like this one. And this cannot be racist. Blacks should stick to pounding license plates in prison. I don't know, folks. Richard, have you ever pounded a license plate? Do they pound license? How do they pound? I thought it was a machine. Maybe it means a machine that pounds them out, that black people should be running. Oh. Is there white people in prison? I think there's white people in prison. I don't think black people like make all the license plates in the United States. But it says should stick to pounding. I've never pounded out license plates in prison. Actually, I've never been to prison. But according to this, blacks, I think we all have been in prison. And this one right here, this is comical. Hang in there, Steve. Gonna be a riot any day now. You grab some good stuff. That's not racist. That can't be. I mean, hey, there's gonna be a riot. You get some good stuff, Steve. Okay, let me tell you how twisted. Steve Harvey is a millionaire. He don't need to riot. He can go buy anything he wants to buy. Okay. Article just came out today about this multi-million-dollar contract he has with this pageant. The brother don't need to be looting. Okay, it's just stupid, dumb. Okay, but the implication is that black people riot. Okay, and so I guess we grab some good stuff. So that's the reason behind it, right? We just riot. Okay, let me go on. I don't have many more. I mean, I could have grabbed a whole lot of more offline, but I didn't. I think these hit the point. Here, Harvey, it's another one. Didn't learn a thing from Obama. You actually have to read the teleprompter. Okay. So again, the president is interjected into Steve Harvey's mistake. Okay. That's not racist, though. Why would a person do that? Oh, they're not racist, though. No. Okay, here's another one. If you want the job done, never, never hand any responsibility to a black or Mexican. You will be let down, even if it's not apparent right at that moment. Even if the job looks good and you say, wow, that was a great job. He's saying it, even at that moment. You will find out later that the lack of quality in the service that they provided at a later date and truly regret employing them. Wow. I don't know if that's racist. Can't even employ black people because you're going to be disappointed. Oh, and also Mexicans. Let's throw them in there, too, because you'll be disappointed. And you know, you might even at first it might look good. I mean, it's like this thing, you know, they're doing this mysterious thing of quality. You know, it looks great. You're like, oh, my God, that looks wonderful. And then like a month later, you're like, that's terrible. like, how does that happen? I don't know. OK, you expect a job. You love it. But a month later, because it was done by black or Mexican, it's horrible. OK, let's go on. Just a couple more, folks. With this level of incompetence in black and black skin color, he's sure to find a job with the Obama administration. Oh, my God. I mean, I feel sorry for the president, man. I mean, that dude take blame for everything. I mean, at a beauty pageant, folks. How does his name get injected? Oh my God. There were so many Obama references. I just grabbed a few. And this one. Blacks only see pictures. So actually, I'm not reading this, folks. I'm reading a picture. Blacks only read pictures. Okay. Oh, and this one, Otay. Now, you remember Buckwheat from The Little Rascals? Otay. Okay. Okay. And then the last one, folks. They should have wrote the cue cards in Ebonics. Wow. Hey, you be the judge. Now, this guy, this guy on Facebook that took issue with me, that said, I'm the problem because I bring out what other people are saying that are racist. Because I take issue with racism. I don't care if you are. Listen, folks, I'm not attacking white people. Let me say this for the record. Okay. My family is a rainbow. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic. I love my family. The Owens, the Browns. We are a diverse group. This is not an attack on white people. This is attack on bigotry, racists. This is what this is attack on. And if the shoe fits, wear it. Don't sit up there and say, oh, my God, you're attacking white. Listen, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just reading what they wrote or what they typed in because nobody writes anymore. I didn't make that up. Listen to me. You can't demonize the individual that brings you the information. You're killing the messenger. All I'm doing is reporting what they said, and I'm saying that it's not legitimate and it needs to stop. But you have a problem with me. No, actually, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with your own prejudices, your own racism that exists within you, your inability to talk about difficult issues in a healthy way. Matter of fact, I didn't call out the white race in my post on Facebook. You assume that, yeah, he must be talking about white people. I don't know who they're prejudiced black people. Y'all have heard me talk about on this show. Y'all have heard me talk about how I don't care whether you black or white, doesn't matter. If you say something racist in my presence, I'm going to check you on it. I'm not going to let you slide. Why? Because it's not right. It's not right. I would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for my black mentors, white mentors, people that have poured into my life, people that have opened up doors for me, people that I am still friends with now. It's not based upon their race. It's based upon who they are and what we are together. So this idea somehow that I must be against a race because I'm bringing out this information? Oh, absolutely not, folks. We need to come together as a society. We need to get over this sickness. It's a sickness. For people to sit behind their computer screens, these cowards sit behind their computer screens and spew this poison across the informational waves that children see. It is a sickness. And these people belong to somebody. They have parents that might even be parents. God forbid they're parents and they're teaching their kids this disease. It is a disease. When you cannot accept people because of their skin tone, you have a sickness. When you're angry at an entire race for the mistake of one person, you have a sickness. When you go out of your way to say things to destroy people, you have a sickness. You're sick. You need a doctor, but not the normal doctor. You can't go into. You need a head doctor. Oh, you might even need a soul doctor. That's how deep your sickness is. It's not in your head. It might even not. It's in your soul. You've been taught that. You need help. America needs help. Because this sickness is in the fabric of our society. I mean, I didn't make this up, folks. All you have to do is go online and Google it. You'll find even more stuff that's being said about this brother. Now, let me say this before I forget to. Now, Steve Harvey. Okay. And again, man, I listened to Steve Harvey radio back in the day. I like Steve Harvey. I think he's a pretty decent actor, too. He made a huge, huge mistake. But I think his hubris brought him to that. His pride brought him to that point. What is this book? Well, hold on a sec. I wanted to look this up. Richard, can we look this up right quick? He's got this book, Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman. What is the name of that book? Can you look that up while I'm talking about this brother? But when we let the media, okay, made Steve Harvey as popular as he is today. Okay. They have adorned him, celebrated him. But now he finds himself on the other side of the coin, folks. And get this, it appears to be for one mistake. Now, all the good that this brother didn't do, all the laughs that he didn't brought into the heart of people, all of the things he's given back, this one mistake has got him. That's it right there, brother. Act like a lady, think like a man. Now, they even made a movie about it. It was out, right? Now, see, this is the problem I have with Steve Harvey. I'm going to say it. All men don't think alike. All women don't think alike. We're not monolithic. How dare this brother think that he can tell women what a man thinks like? That's what bothers me. Nobody speaks for me. This idea that somehow in the media celebrated this thing. When I was at Ralph Ellison, people were coming in, they were buying this book. I thought, what are you buying this mess for? Act like a lady, think like a man. Who made him the authority on what men think like? But see, that's hubris, though. Hey, I'm Steve Harvey. I'm big time. I can tell you how men think. Oh, okay. No, you can tell me how Steve Harvey thinks. You can do that. And I'm even interested in how you think, Brother Steve. Really, I am. I'm interested in it, man. I think you've done some great things. However, okay. You cannot be the voice of black men. You cannot be the voice of men. And your book and these things are hubris. And what happens is when you think you become so big and you have been built up to be this on this pedestal, what happens is, as you have seen, in one mistake, you have been brought down and demonized. I've heard people even say, I don't know if he can live this down. Well, America has a short memory anyway. So I think the brother be fine. But I don't write those books, Brother Steve. You can't speak for Steve Harvey. Think like, act like a woman. Think like Steve Harvey. That's a better title, brother. Or act like my woman and think like Steve Harvey. Okay, there you go. But not act like a woman, think like a man. And again, folks, I didn't read it. Okay. I'm looking at the cover. I'm looking at it, but I don't like the title. I'm looking at some of the reviews down here. One review, Richard just highlighted, discusses the book on two different talk shows. And I thought there would be an advantage for us married. Ladies, we struggle with our men too. The entire book seems geared toward young single women. Sad for me, I thought I just had to have this book, but was surely disappointed. Again, I'm not talking against the brother. I know he's doing his thing. However, that's the problem I have. I believe that pride, it says it, first come the pride, then comes the fall. And you can build yourself up so high. And you grab that car, you just walk out there. I'm Steve Harvey. Smiling. Brother got a beautiful smile. Smiling. And boom. What happened? That was his mistake, folks. Don't ruin this man over this mistake. It was a mistake. It happens. It was a big one. It was pretty large. Yeah, hurt some people. But who among us has not made a mistake that has wounded somebody? All of us have. We just don't have that large of a platform. But what if you did? Wouldn't you want some empathy? Wouldn't you want some mercy? Wouldn't you want some grace? Brother Steve, you got it. You got it from me. I just don't like the book, though. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you got it from me. I forgive you, man. It happens, you know. But be humble. Got to be humble. We're going to close this show out. Let me say this. 2016, folks. Let's celebrate one another. Let's move into a new dimension in which there is love, peace, harmony, where we come together, not just as a country. I'm not naive to think that we can solve all our problems in 365 days. But I tell you what, we can solve some family problems. We can solve some neighborhood, some community problems. We might even be able to solve some problems on the state level. But let this be a year of unity, a year of putting this, the racism, the hatred, the things that divide us. Let's begin to tear and chip away at that. 2016. I don't want to end 2016, folks, on talking about these same things. I don't know about you. I'm tired. We need to change it. We have the power to change it. You have the power to change it. Together, we have the power to change it. Because as always, as we close out 2015, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.